Virtue is the source of value, the essence of true economy. Cultivating virtue is the work of the sage. Wealth arises from the discipline of complete self-regulation. A quiet mind and an uncontracted body is prerequisite to potency, which comes only from the source. Concentrate awareness like a laser, pierce through the ego's Truman Show, then true intelligence can flow. Let no limits halt expansion, only then can one guard the realm. Guarding the Tao is the highest economics. Guard the Tao by disseminating insight. Guide by burrowing the deepest roots and raising high a straight and solid trunk. Attachments must all be obliterated if the flag of freedom is to be flown. This is the season for real economic growth. The value of the Tao and its virtue will never be so high as now. Gain the wisdom of Buddha, the compassion of Kuan Yin, the royalty of Christ, the playfulness of Krishna, the power of the Supreme Father. Ascend to the light of salvation, then raise in rapture all who wish to be free. Lord Shiva is trampling on this tormented domain. No trace of this eon will remain. The final turning of the great Dharma wheel is approaching, its complete revolution. This is the moment to realize God as self. Well, there's a lot that could be said about this poem. The quietness, the virtue again, the new economic system that will not be capitalism, but a gift economy, a complete giving and sharing, not communism in a Marxist form, but a divine communalism, and a renaissance, a real community of gods and goddesses who have become incarnations, avatars of that supreme one single whole consciousness that is the real. But the ego lives in its own narcissistic bubble, its fantasy world, which is what I referred to as the Truman Show, right? An artificial life within a context created by the big other, the family system and the social system, in which the boundaries are very small. They're painted as if they're big and as if you have freedom and as if you can cross boundaries and explore the unknown, but only in a very shallow way, as a kind of tourist traveler through reality, but not someone who can actually get into the truth of the real. Everything is very superficial. So one has to go into the Tao, the depths of the Tao, to reach the highest economics. And it's really value that what we're talking about, because the capacity to produce a world, to be a creator, that's what value is really about. Not just the fictional use of fiat currency, but the capacity to manifest through the transformation of the morphogenetic field. These kinds of powers of consciousness are the source of real wealth. And as the current economic system is about to collapse and the illusory wealth is being destroyed and the bankruptcy of this system being revealed, then the real wealth will soon become visible to all. So this is the moment in which we can get wholesale the wisdom of Buddha and the compassion of Kuan Yin and the royalty of Christ and the playfulness of Krishna, etc. All of these are the powers that will serve us in future lives. And when we speak of Christ, you know, Christ is not only the Son of God. I actually consider Christ to be the real mother, the Shakti, the version of Shakti for the West, even though depicted in a male form. But it's that form that comes from the transcendent into the immanent, and even the creation of the phenomenal plane, because Christ is referred to in esoteric Christianity as the Logos, which goes back to the original Word of God, right? Let there be light. And so Christ is the light that becomes the universe, the light of the world, that then also draws souls back. So Christ plays that role of Mahadevi and of Parashakti in the Eastern traditions. And Kuan Yin plays that role of the goddess of compassion. So and Krishna is, of course, also a very feminine Vaishnav figure who's into complete playfulness. Even in the serious moment of the Mahabharata, Krishna doesn't fight. Krishna is a charioteer who floats above it all, who is present and who distributes wisdom, but who is free from attachment to the outcome, and allows that to become a function of the valor, the virtue of the great warriors. And the warriors who uphold Dharma, who in the Mahabharata are referred to as the Pandavas, have chosen Krishna, while the other side has chosen all of the weapons and armies and technology that the mind can establish. So that's the question. Which side are you on? Do you want the power of science and technology, or do you want the power of divine magic that seems to be powerless, that has no weapons, but that has the Dharma, and who therefore is able to gain the victory over those who have become evil and whose own corrupt desire for power causes their demise? And the relationship between Arjuna and Krishna is the key of the Mahabharata. Arjuna is the warrior, Krishna is the charioteer, but they are in the same chariot. Krishna representing or signifying the Godhead is in the same body as the soul that is Arjuna. And it is that relation of the soul to God within your own consciousness, even within your own brain, unifying the two hemispheres of the brain and creating a link through the pineal gland to the source of consciousness and the heart of God that flows as supreme intelligence. This is created by that internal union that is our union with the Tao, or with that intelligence through the letting go of ego identification. So anyway, there's a lot more that can probably be said, but this is the meaning of the end of that poem: to realize God as self. First, we have to know God and bring that realization of the presence of God into our own consciousness as not different, then the final union in which God is not other than the self is finally achieved.